Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us this morning. Yesterday, we were at the World Pork Expo. Merck Animal Health provided us with a spot to have a conversation with Brian Humphreys. He is the Chief Executive Officer of the National Pork Producers Council. Brian, thank you so much for making some time. It's a busy couple of 3 days, isn't it?
Absolutely it is, but we're glad that you're all here, but more importantly, we're glad that the pork producers are willing to show up here and not only for the talking to one another and the conversations, but to meet with the vendors and talk about how they can improve their operations.
And they showed up, Brian.
Absolutely. Been a tremendous crowd. Yesterday was fantastic. Today appears to be the same. You know, and yesterday I started off the morning and didn't see the smoke rolling out there, and I walked in, I couldn't smell pork. I was a little nervous. Rain clouds went by, turned out we just need a bit more time for the smoke to roll.
So I said the same thing yesterday on Wednesday on the show. I was disappointed that I couldn't. I've made up for it. Let's put it that way.
It's almost like I listened to your podcast, Chip.
Love it very much. All right. So just give me your overall impressions. I mean, it hasn't been a crowd like this at World Pork Expo for a while. It's an important meeting, and it's one that NPPC puts a lot of effort into.
100%. And it's a labor of love, right? We've got pork producers from all over the country and actually all over the world. Got folks in from foreign countries as well. They come and join us. They talk to the vendors. They talk to one another. They talk about how to improve their operations. And they gain insights and new practices and behaviors. Yeah. The symposiums that we have going on are phenomenal. Great opportunity to learn and to network here. And reality is we couldn't do this without the support of our sponsors and without the support of our vendors, but most importantly, without the support of our producers out there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay, you had a policy panel to discuss the priorities for NPPC, and you put out a list of it. It included advocating for public policy. Put some meat on that bone for me. What exactly does that mean?
Absolutely. And first off, love using the phrase, put some meat on the bone in the pork industry. So we appreciate that. Well, first off, NPPC is the global voice for the U.S. pork industry. We are the ones that talk to the producers, gain the insights and knowledge of what do they want, what do they need, and how do we go out and drive that. And that comes down to everything from foreign animal disease, prevention and preparedness, and working with the Farm Bill to get those priorities included. Market exports and ensuring that we have access to foreign markets for our product. Talking about port disruptions like what we're facing out west. Yeah. It's about advocating on the needs for the needs on behalf of the U.S. pork industry. And that's what advocacy and public policy is. And it ranges from everything from international policy to state policy and everything in between.
Who are you targeting with that advocacy? Is it pork producers or consumers? Because that consumer's got to be confident in the industry.
Absolutely. So the beauty of the U.S. pork industry is we actually have two national organizations.
Yes.
And so the Pork Checkoff works on behalf of education, promotion, and research with the consumers. Does a fantastic job. NPPC's job is policy. And where we focus that effort is in four policy areas. That's domestic policy in Washington, D.C. That's international policy with our trading partners and the World Trade Organization. That is corporate policy and recognizing that we have some major players out there that when they make a decision, we want to make sure they have all the facts and information so that as it impacts our producers are aware of it. And then, of course, state policy. It'd be a little remiss if I didn't acknowledge that sometimes we have states that have low pig population and high people population that make decisions that impact our industry, such as California.
Such as California. Yeah, exactly. I know that NPPC is working with the State Department of Ag in California to help educate for preparedness for implementation compliance with Prop 12. Tell me about that effort.
Yeah, board gave clear direction. We want to see a smooth transition. This is going to be a tremendous impact on the state of California and the consumers there. And while we're saddened to see that and disappointed with the court's ruling, the reality is we owe it to our consumers, 40 million folks in California, to ensure that they have the availability to buy fresh pork product if and however we can. And that means working with CDFA to help understand what do they mean by the rules, need a little bit clearer guidance on some of the FAQs that they put out and the rules that they put out, and providing that guidance to our producers. Excited to see last week with our push that they announced some webinars to offer some direction, some guidance, and answer some questions, an updated FAQ document that provides some detail, but we'd sure like to see more out of that. Our job here is to continue to take the questions from the industry to CDFA to get clarity for the industry on what they need to do to comply with Proposition 12 to ensure that we get that product in there as smoothly as possible. That doesn't mean, though, that we're in love with the concept of a state like California regulating outside their borders.
July 1 is right around the corner. Can they get it implemented that fast?
That's a great question, Chip, and only CDFA can answer that for you. I think it's going to be a real struggle, though, because there's still a number of questions about that are coming from the countryside with folks who built Prop 12 compliant barns and have done everything they think they can to do it, but still have some lingering questions from CDFA that need to get answered out there. These webinars will be a huge push for it.
Exactly. It sounds to me, and as I understand it, there's about 6% of the U.S. production, roughly, that is compliant.
Could be, Chip. We actually don't know that number.
Okay.
Yep. And I think that'd be an interesting number to have, but we simply don't have it because, one, those proprietary business information, but two, there's a lot that goes into being compliant, not only with the design of the building and the stall access, but the hours and a lot of other things that come in that we're still working through. Listen, here's my big fear. We have some fantastic customers in California that may or may not have voted for this, or they may or may not have understand the implications of it. That does not mean that we want them to be without pork chops on July 4th.
Okay.
And that's something we have to work through. And given the state of our industry today and the challenges that we face economically, this isn't a time that we got to make sure we can get product in there and keep it moving.
You know, for that consumer that wants the pork chop on their grill on July 4th, I get it. That's very important.
Yep.
But what about the food truck that wants to serve bacon and eggs on the 4th of July morning?
It's a challenge for everybody.
Oh, man.
Challenge for everybody. Yep.
It really is. Okay.
Well, and I think we should use that as a shout-out here to the rest of the states around the country to let them know that elections have consequences. Take a moment to realize what it is that you're voting for and get educated, because the consequences you face could be troubling. And let's be honest, nobody wants to pay more for bacon than they have to.
Right.
And everyone wants to have access to it. We've got to make sure that happens.
That is a really good message right there, Brian. Really good. I had a conversation earlier this week with Senator Grassley.
Mm-hmm.
When I asked him about Prop 12, number one, he got worked up. He doesn't do that very often on AgriTalk.
No, he does not. Nope.
But he did. He got worked up. He was fired up about Congress's responsibility to generate legislation that would regulate interstate commerce, therefore overriding Prop 12. Support that effort?
We support effort to override Prop 12 at a federal level. Listen, the Supreme Court was clear. They said this is a problem. They said it was a problem. They just said it wasn't their problem. But they said it was Congress's to fix. We look to Congress to fix this. Board had a discussion earlier today. There's legislation out there, the EATS bill. MPPC has come out in support of that. There's some technical changes we'd like to see as part of that. We'd like for it to be bipartisan, work with our Democrat colleagues out there to get some changes as they need to see it fixed. But we've got to have a federal solution to the challenges that we face here because... One, other states aren't gonna abide by this and let this go, and there could be other challenges to other industries. We've got to find a solution.
Yep. Finding solutions. There's still a lot of questions out there about Prop 12, and
sure.
And I feel like we could talk about this for 2 hours, and we're still going to be right where we're at, Brian.
Yep.
In this conversation, because everybody knows what we want to see done. It's just a question of whether or not we can get there or not. We have talked a lot about disease prevention on AgriTalk at World Pork Expo. One thing that I haven't talked a lot about, and I know it's still an issue, are labor issues.
Absolutely.
How are we addressing those?
Well, let's use Iowa as an example. We're here in the great state of Iowa. Unemployment's here around 2.7, 2.9%. You get out in rural Iowa, it's even lower than that. We cannot find domestic labor to fill the needs of labor in the U.S. pork industry, let alone the rest of agriculture. We call on Congress to do something about that, and the obvious fix would be year-round H-2A and allowing to be used in the industries like the pork industry. I think we get wrapped up in overall immigration reform, understand that, but agriculture is its own unique challenge, and rural America needs the attention, and we welcome the folks that want to come in here and work. We'd love to have them. And so call on Congress to look at passing some H-2A reforms.
Yep. They passed the debt ceiling. They got that done.
Yep.
Does that give you a little hope that maybe the immigration issues could be taken up and that they actually can negotiate?
Absolutely it does.
Good.
And here's why. I believe that the congressmen and women and the senators that went to D.C. went there to do the right thing, and that includes passing immigration reform, at least for agriculture, to get the issues that we face fixed.
Yeah, absolutely. Real quick, the expanding exports, it's always at the top of the list, isn't
100%.
It?
100%.
Yep. Yeah.
At the end of the day, we have a fantastic product raised by the producers right here in this room that do tremendous work, and they should have the ability to sell that internationally, and we would ask the administration to help gain access to those markets.
Yep. Brian, the industry has some challenges right now. There is no question about it. Keep working hard for the producers out there, because we need the leadership, and they need the guidance, and they need the voice.
The American pork producer is resilient. We'll get through this, too.
Absolutely. Brian Humphreys is the CEO of the National Pork Producers Council. We'll be back with more AgriTalk here in a moment.